Going to be in Matthew tonight. I do have a question before we begin tonight. It's not a testimony, but somewhat is. Can some of you tell me, what is your favorite verse? And perhaps tell me why. Anybody? What's a verse that means a whole lot to you? Maybe it's not your favorite, but it's very, very meaningful to you. Anybody?
Mine's 1 Peter 5:7. Of cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And it just seems like whatever you're going through, it's important to him.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto your own understanding.
Amen. Amen. Okay, somebody else?
Mine's Jude 1:22, the Son having compassion made a difference.
Okay.
Jesus had great compassion and made a big difference.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I do, but I can't find it.
Jeff?
One of mine is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It always gives me great encouragement to press forward.
Amen. Okay, he says, think on these things. Yeah. And what does it say in the peace of God? I'm not sure if that's exactly, but something of that nature, yeah. What? Amen. Pardon in the abundance. Amen. Anybody else?
I like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. With God and was God.
Okay. Amen.
Because he's the Word. I mean, that was a big revelation.
Okay. Amen.
Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, amen. That's always been a meaningful one to me, too. Anybody else? Bill?
Mine's actually, too, and it's found in 1 John 3:22-23, and it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
Amen. Amen. I believe tonight we'd have to conclude that the Word of God is very, very meaningful to us. Amen. Amen. I think we'd have to say that it's literally changed our lives. Isn't that true? And we have a responsibility to it. And I'd like for us to note that tonight as we go to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to read verses 17 down to verse 20. And take a few moments to look into this and what I've described here tonight. The keepers of the law. It says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for these testimonies. Thank you that we have this tremendous book upon which we can depend. Lord, I know here tonight that probably in every life there's a verse or two or a whole section that and things that have meant so much through the years. I pray that you would just in these moments now bless us from this, your word, and teach us valuable truth. I pray that above all else that we might be more understanding of how we must commit ourselves to the preservation of this, your marvelous word. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. I believe it's a great privilege to have the Word of God. I can remember so vividly sitting in a class, and there was a man who was teaching that class. He was a pastor, and his name was Dr. Paul Vanneman. And I loved to hear him preach. He was more one of these kind you watched him preach. Very energetic and moved around and just very dramatic in it. And I remember one day in class, he was talking about the Bible. And he began to talk about how he loved it so much. And he picked it up. And when he picked it up, one of the pages fell out. And he reached down real gingerly and grabbed the page and put it back in its place. And then he took that Bible and brought it up to his lips and kissed it. It wasn't an act. For him, it was a living reality. Thank God for the privilege to have the Word of God. Think about it for a moment. By it we are saved. In John 5:24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know, there's some folks, and I had it mentioned to me tonight, they believe that they can lose their salvation. But I see something here. It says, hath everlasting life. Doesn't say might have or could have. It says shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How does that take place? When you and I are willing to believe the Word of God that we hear. But also by it, we are sanctified. That's a word that simply means we've been set apart. In 1 Peter 2, verse number 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." How do we grow spiritually? We partake of the word of God. Think about this for a moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You want a greater faith? Listen to the word of God more. You see, what goes in has a way of coming out. And the more we take in of the word, the more likely we are to live it. In Ephesians 4:15, it says this, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So we're sanctified. We are to grow in Christ. We're to become more like him. And I find something interesting in verse 17, and let me read that again. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Do you realize when Jesus came and he confirmed the word of God? Now, there's a number of ways he did. One is he fulfilled prophecy, did he not? And we find that there's tremendous prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also find that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who quoted from the Old Testament. And thus he was putting his stamp of approval upon the Word of God. And so he came to confirm the Word. We find in verse number 18 where it says, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The Lord's saying, hey, listen, every bit of this book down to the most minute detail, is going to be fulfilled. He talks about a dot. You know what that is. It's a dot. It's a small mark. A tittle is very closely related to it. It's the smallest part of any letter. Just a little dinky thing. And the Lord says that those things are very important. I believe that this gives credence to what we call verbal plenary inspiration. Now, simply what that means is verbal, God spoke it, and verbal plenary means really basically every word of it. I don't believe in the thoughts of God being recorded by man. I believe in the words of God being recorded by man. And God gave that to us. God gave us the very words. Now, there's something else. And if you've read that book that I gave to you, you'll find these terms, dynamic equivalency. Just big words, it simply means that there are those who don't believe God gave us his words, but gave us his thoughts. And so man wrote it down in his words. Well, we could do a little experiment tonight, and you've probably been involved with one. I could walk over here and I could tell Chad something very definite. I say, now tell that to Chris, and he would whisper to Chris, and she would turn and look at Carrie, and she would whisper to her, and she to Gary. Gary would go back there to Madison, and we'd go all the way around the room. And I guarantee you, what I said to him would not be what Sean says at the end. See, it's not the thoughts that we make, it's the very words of God. He gave those to us. Now, I find it interesting in verse number 19 that anyone breaking even the least of the commands and teaching others is considered the lowest of the lowest class of men. Do you see that in that verse? In verse number 19, it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so, he shall be called what? The least in the kingdom of heaven. But it also goes on, and conversely, anyone that follows those commands and teaches others the same is amongst the most elite of class of men. You realize tonight it's an awesome and tremendous responsibility to teach his word correctly. But by the same token, it's an awesome and tremendous responsibility to make sure that we don't allow any of its words to get changed, because I guarantee you the devil will. The first time the devil quotes the word of God, back in Genesis chapter 1, he quotes it incorrectly. That's his pattern. Always has been, always will be. We learn this. God gave to the Jewish nation a massive responsibility to keep his word. I'm not speaking there about doing it. I'm talking about guarding it and making sure that it was passed down. This would mean that they were to make exact copies. They did not have Xerox machines. They did not have typeset. And so we find that they had a responsibility by hand to sit down and to copy the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And I want you to, you could turn there. Chapter number 4, I'm going to read several verses here. And notice a few things here. It says, now hearken, therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Look at this. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. He goes on, he says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But he that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, everyone this day. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget those things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. If they're going to teach their children, I believe it becomes very obvious they had to, what? Have it written down. Now consider this. We go to the New Testament, and God makes it very obvious. In Romans chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, listen to this, because unto them, the Jewish people, were committed the oracles of God. They set aside certain men to copy the word of God. They were looked at as the Talmud. And I want to share with you just some of the minute regulations that they were to adhere to as they copied the word of God. They were to write on the skins of clean animals only. No pig skins involved in this. They were fastened together, these what would become scrolls with strings that were made from clean animals. Every skin must contain a certain number of columns throughout, so they had to be a certain size. The length of each column must be between 48 and 60 lines. The breadth of it must be able to contain 30 letters. If three words be written without a line, it was worthless. It was not allowed. The ink was to be black. They could not deviate from the original copy. No word was to be written down by memory, but looked at in the original copy they had. They were not to do so by memory. They were to compare. Between every consonant, a hair or thread must intervene. In other words, there need be just that much room between those consonants. Every section, the breadth between those sections would be 9 consonants. Between every book, there would be 3 lines. Do you think this is detail? Do you think these folks were interested in making the Word of God complete and preserving it for us? Do you realize also that when they were copying, they had to do it in full Jewish dress? If they came to the word Jehovah, they were to take a bath. They were to completely wash their body, go in and write the word. If it appeared twice in one verse, they would have to take 2 baths because they felt that name to be so holy. Oh, how we are so flippant about the name of our God. His name could only be written with a pen that had been wiped and newly dipped in ink. I find this stuff amazing. And so we find the Jew received the word of God from God, and they were to guard it. I believe that responsibility has been handed down to you and to me. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus, in his great prayer, said, "Thy word is truth." Amen? And so you and I, we are to be built upon the word of God, and thus to seek to see it continue on. If you and I are going to obey the great commandment to take the word of God to all the world and preach the gospel, then we've got to have it. One of the things I didn't understand for years and years, we send missionaries and they would go, but they didn't have Bibles for their people. I'm so thankful today we got men like Brother Steve Zeiner, my good friend, that works on translating the Bible into languages that nobody's ever done before. And God takes and uses His Word. The Spirit of God uses it to bring conviction of sin. And if we're going to see people come to know Christ in other places, they need the Word of God. We find that the Spirit of God uses the Word to offer us a thing of salvation. Every word, every phrase, every verse is significant. I want you to turn to chapter 17 of the book of Matthew for just a moment. Book of Matthew, chapter 17. I want to show you something here. I'm going to read a few verses, starting in verse 15. First verse is my favorite verse for my sons. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic." I'm sorry. "And sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why couldest not we cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, even with that in mind, he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Do you believe prayer is important? Do you understand the principle of fasting and praying? It's not taking time to eat, it's putting your whole concentration upon the Lord. And we're seeking after Him. I've had a few of those opportunities I've made, actually, and marvelous times of the art. Chad speaks of a time out in western Nebraska that he experienced. And there's nothing like realizing a great need and going to God in prayer and willing to leave food alone until God answers. Now here's the catch. You won't find this verse in any Bible that I'm aware of outside of the King James Version. Do you think that's an important verse? Do you think that's involved with we keeping every word? Do we believe that that is involved with making sure that every word of God is brought from the previous generation to this? I believe so. And so you and I have a great responsibility. We have left this job up to others. We've left it up to those who have made a business out of it. But it's our responsibility as a church and to make sure that, thank God that He allows us to run into people who can do these kinds of things and to be a part of their life and be, in many regards, the approval of the work they do. Blessed be God that we have the Word of God. how marvelous it is. Amen? And to know it is His Word. And to know that God inspired it and God preserved it. And you can count on it. Some of you heard my testimony on this. For many years, I used the mantra that I believe the King James Version is the best translation that's out there. And what I meant by that, there's probably something else, but then along with that, I would say, I believe in the original manuscripts. By the way, brethren, you know what we do not have? We don't have the original manuscripts. We have copies of copies. But oh, by the way, did you know that Jesus, when he put his stamp of approval upon the Old Testament, they were reading copies? They didn't have the originals either. But they had diligently kept every dot and tittle in its proper place. So be thankful for the marvelous Word of God. But here's the problem. We ignore it. And we don't allow it to enter our heart and do its job. And marvelous it ought to be. I don't know how you read the Bible. I particularly have a Bible reading schedule that I've used for a number of years. Some people do it differently. The big thing is make sure you do it. Amen? Make sure you read of the Word of God daily, letting Him speak to your heart. Years ago, I had a friend. His name was Tommy Malone. He was the son of Dr. Tom Malone, who was the pastor of the church I went to in Pontiac, Michigan. He was also the president of the college. Tremendous pulpiteer. And I said to Tommy, what does he recommend in Bible reading? He says, Dad says, read the Bible until you get a blessing. It might be the first word. It might be the 20th chapter. But make sure you read it until you get a blessing. I've never forgot that. How blessed it is that you and I have this. And when I saw that I have a perfect Bible, I no longer have to rely upon commentaries or somebody tell me what it means. I have the Holy Spirit of God, and thus saith the Lord. Marvelous it is. That doesn't mean that I don't use books. Doesn't mean that I don't read what people say. Nothing wrong with that. I probably have more books in my library than you do. I've collected them through the years. But here's the book. Amen? You could take all the others away, but leave me this one.